Good evening. The tongue, being the smallest part of the body, it can boast of great things, can't it? The tongue can tear down a person. It can tear down an entire community, but it can also build up someone. It can also build up an entire community. The tongue is a very powerful tool. It's a very powerful instrument. With it, we speak. But many misuse this part. I go to the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words cannot hurt me. Now, this is a lie. It's a false statement, because I have seen many young men, young women take their lives, own lives, because of bullying, cyberbullying, being called names. It can hurt. Words can hurt. It can cause an everlasting damage if used inappropriately. But yet many do not see it that way. I've heard people say, well, you just need to toughen up, suck it up. Well, that's us using our tongues for the worst possible way, in the worst possible way. And so we must be aware of what we say, what comes out of our mouths. And I'll be one to be honest, I have put my foot in my mouth multiple times. And guess what? It will probably continue to happen. But once again, I try to make myself aware of what comes out, because it can either damage someone or help build them up. And so when we look at the mighty tongue, James covers the mighty tongue. Because when we look in James chapter 3 real quick, starting with verse 1, it says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder. Wherever the pilot desires, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. We must learn how to control our tongues, how to tame our tongues. And it's a hard thing to do, very hard. But when we learn to do so, we see great things happen. When we look at places like Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 29, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has no need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Now, what we see in this section of Ephesians 4, we see that Paul is telling the Ephesians here, don't lie, don't conduct yourselves in a unpleasing manner. For those who stole, steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good. And then let no corrupt word. That corrupt word, many would say, well, cussing. Cussing is corruption. When we use bad language, it is corruption, corrupting talk. But lying as well. When we lie, we hurt others, don't we? We hurt ourselves, but we hurt others. When we have corrupting talk come out of our mouths, it's going to tear someone down. When people use this language that we see in the world today, it is to use for tearing down. Road rage. It always starts off as words coming out, spit flying on the window. You're so angry. And then it turns even worse sometimes. We see that it can turn a whole lot worse. But also we see with lying, deceiving people. That's not what a Christian is called to do. Because when we look in James chapter 3, these first few verses, why were some not to become teachers? It's because they could not tame their tongue. We don't understand that with teachers, we are judged with a stricter judgment. We're handling the word of God. We are to teach the whole truth. And once again, James, Peter, John, Paul, all of them dealt with false apostles. They dealt with false teachers. They dealt with Jews who were still trying to pull others into Judaism. But we see here, once again, control your tongue. Control what comes out. Because we see in word or deed, you can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can, and what that means by grieving the Holy Spirit is causing distress, causing harm. And so when we look at this, once again, speaks harmful things and his actions are wrong is what's being spoken of here. In James 1, verses 19 through 20, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. These are qualities that are needed when one is under trials. And it's usually the opposite. People are quick to speak, they are quick to wrath, and they are slow to hear. That's the complete opposite of what it says here. And that's how people of the world act. And I've seen it so many times. People don't listen. They want to be the first ones to speak and the last ones to speak. They want to get the last word in. And then it causes them to, and they jump to anger. They jump to wrath like that. It happens. I've seen brothers and sisters in Christ do it. Once again, we're not perfect, but we see we are to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, because the wrath of man, it does not produce the righteousness of God. It never does. We go to Cain. Cain, who allowed his pride and anger to fester, and eventually what we see is it ends up going so far as to taking his own brother's life. Anger produces nothing. It produces death. It produces harmful things to come about. And so when we look, we must be careful. Once again, we must control what comes out. And it's hard some days. It is. Because when we turn to Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Now, some people will take this text and say, well, isn't Christ contradicting himself? Because we see Christ at points call the Pharisees fools. What we must understand here about this text, this word fool is an insult. It's from anger. It's an insult. It is not the way Christ uses it. When we see people in sin, they are foolish. When they continue to live in sin, they are foolish. But that's not me coming from anger. That's me trying to warn them, this is going to cost you your soul. This is going to cost you everything. But you continue not to listen. You continue in your ways. We see many times Paul rebuking. We see many times Paul trying to correct his brothers. Once again, it's not out of anger. It's out of love. He loves his brothers and sisters in Christ. He wants the best for them. And Christ, once again, here does too. And so we see Christ, he says that anyone who uses the word fool in such a way as an insult out of angry content deserves hell. What good does it do to insult people? I've seen so many debates where atheists, between Christians and atheists, where the atheists completely just insult the other. What good does that do? I often tell people when I'm talking and studying with someone, if they start getting angry, I know there's nothing I can say or do to help them control that. And so that's my cue to get out. Because I know that it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And so we must understand, we ourselves as well must be careful how we proceed, how we speak to one another, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. I have been in congregations where gossip happens, lying happens, anger happens. Is that using our tongues in the best way? No. It hurts people. It drives people away. And so when we look at the tongue, it can cause chaos. It can cause destruction. It can. That little body part can cause so much harm. I don't think we realize it a lot of times. In James chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, back to our main text. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest fire, little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Animals can be tamed, and mankind has tamed animals, haven't we? From the smallest, cats, dogs, and I have seen people train, I don't know if you've watched the circus, they used to have like grizzly bears and stuff that would do tricks. It's pretty interesting. We can tame animals, but for some reason we cannot tame our tongue. It's full of deadly poison. It causes so much damage. And yet here we are boasting. Here we are not controlling what comes out of our mouths. Because we allow our anger, we allow our wrath to overcome us, and we say things that we shouldn't. You know, I'm a sports fan, but at the same time, when I see fans out there cursing the refs, I remember at one high school game, I was on the sideline. That year we were undefeated. The refs were making some bad calls, sure, but hearing the parents behind me and the words coming from their mouth, and you know what's sad? I turned around and looked at some points, and I recognized some of them in the church. You know how bad that is to see grown men, grown women who are brothers and sisters in Christ acting like that at a sporting event? I asked myself at the Ohio State-Michigan game, seeing that big brawl happen on the field and the brawls happening in the crowd, I wonder how many of those people belong to the church, are in the church. It's a sad day when we allow our tongues, the poison, to spew out. Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 36. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. You can tell by their fruits whether they're good or whether they are bad. And it's from their hearts that they speak. From their hearts, they speak. So an evil man, of course, will speak evil things, will speak ill of others, will tear others down to benefit himself, will say things to hurt others. But a good man will speak only good things, will only speak to edify, to pick someone up. It's so important we see this, because every idle word men may speak, we're going to have to give an account of it on the day of judgment. God will remember every action, every deed, every word that was spoken by us in our lifetime. Once again, I have messed up in my youth, and it happens. Sometimes we do let our anger get the best of us. We let words slip out that shouldn't be there. That shouldn't come out from a Christian's mouth. It happens. But once again, we must learn how to control, how to be aware of what comes out. Proverbs 15, 1 and 2. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. There's that word fool again. We see here, soft answers turn away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. They do, don't they? The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness, and it does. These false teachers, what comes out of their mouth is deadly poison. They're causing people their souls. And they're using these words, they're using their tongues to only benefit themselves. It's what false teachers do. But a good Christian, a man of God, will speak in a way that uses knowledge rightly. And not just wisdom, but godly wisdom is in that individual. We are to use our tongues for the building up, for good, to help people come to Christ, to help people learn about the truth, to build up one another, to edify one another. That's what we are called to do. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. How do we stir up love, good works? Well, we build one another up. We encourage one another, don't we? With our mouths, what we speak to them. Nothing harsh should be said to our brothers and sisters here in the assembly. Exhorting one another. This is what the church is to be doing, and yet are we? Are we doing this? Are we making sure that we are loving one another, that we are building up one another in such a way? Going back to Hebrews chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ. We hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Exhort one another daily. Instruct one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The apostles used these small members to instruct, to build up Christians, to build up the church. And so that when sin did come, they could overcome it. As preachers, we are not exempt. Our career, our job is to speak. But if we are using this platform as a time to tear down others, to give out false doctrine, then we are the ones who are going to answer for that on that day. But it's not just the preachers. It's not just the elders, the deacons, the leaders. It's the members as well. If you went into a congregation where everyone was talking bad about one another, you had a bunch of cliques, you had gossipers, liars, and it was terrible, do you think that congregation would remain together? Do you think they would ever grow? Absolutely not. The mighty tongue can do a lot of damage. I have seen splits happen in the church. I have seen individuals leave the church, leave the faith because of what people say. They tear them down. And it's a sad reality, but it is reality. I've seen many leave the faith because of it. And on the day when we face Christ in judgment, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we will have to answer for what we have said, for what we have done. And God will remember everything. And so why not tonight, if you are lost, why not come to Christ and give your life to Him? And so that you may learn how to build one another up. And so that you yourself can be built up, can be exhorted, can be lifted up and encouraged. Because you won't get it out in the world too often. And so if you're not a Christian this evening, I pray and hope that you come to Christ. And this is how you do it. You hear the word, Romans 10:17. Believe the word, John 3:16-17. Repent of your sins, Acts 2:38. Confess your faith in Christ, Romans 10:10. And you are baptized for the remission of sins, Galatians 3:26-27. And that you must remain faithful, Hebrews 10:23. You must remain faithful. And that means living as Christ lived. Living like Christ. Being Christ-like, and that means using your tongue to help others, to build them up, to encourage them, to lead them to Christ, and not away from Christ. Or if you are a Christian, and you have caught yourself gossiping, you've caught yourself lying, you've caught words coming out that tear people down, you are in sin. And you must come forward and repent of your sins. And allow the church to help you and encourage you, pray for you. There are many great things that we can do with this small body part, and so do we do it. If you're here this evening, you need any assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.